welcome to a special edition of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This edition of the Fredcast features a speech by Mayor Jerry Abramson from Louisville, Kentucky. This speech was given Wednesday, March 14th, 2007, as part of the League of American Bicyclists annual National Bike Summit. The first voice you'll hear will be Executive Director Andy Clark from the League of American Bicyclists as he and others introduce Mayor Abramson. I hope you enjoy Mayor Abramson's speech as much as the attendees did. Many people said that this was one of the highlights of the 2007 National Bike Summit. Enjoy.
Now, a couple of years ago, I had my first opportunity to visit Louisville, Kentucky, and I very quickly saw some amazing bike racks, speaking of bike parking, that were, I think, the product of some art competition or something. And it was they were very striking, very creative designs, and I love that kind of thing. We're going to learn a lot more about Louisville in just a second. I want to invite Ellen Jones, our local League of American Bicyclists board member and staff person at the Downtown Business Improvement District, to do the honors.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome again. We just can't welcome you enough to our nation's capital and our hometown, Washington, D.C. I want to thank also Andy Clark and the tremendous work that he and his staff have done to put this together. Could we join me in that? Thanks. Thank you, staff. And we also want to acknowledge the support that's given to the conference by the Washington Area Bicyclist Association, WABA. Our speaker, as you've heard, is from Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky is the home of the league's Region 3 Club of the Year in 2006, the Louisville Bicycle Club. If we have some members here from the Louisville Bike Club, congratulations to you. Mayor Jerry Abramson is our speaker. He has, I understand, set a first by being the longest serving mayor of that city, five terms. He's in his fifth term as mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, and in a city like Washington, you can appreciate the political longevity that that kind of record indicates. He was three terms the mayor of the old city of Louisville, but now is the mayor of a new consolidated city that has more than twice the population and six times the geographic area of his original city boundaries. So that must be a challenge in itself. As mayor, he has changed the landscape of the community in many ways in Louisville, from attracting new jobs to leading the revitalization of their downtown, something that we all care a great deal about, to expanding parkland for the city. I understand that he convened a bike summit for the Louisville area as well, and at that summit stressed the important role that bicycling plays in economic development as well as the health of the community. So please join me in welcoming Mayor Abramson.
I want to thank Ellen for that wonderful introduction. I wish I were going to be around for the 6 o'clock WABA meeting. I was going to ask why all the bikes out front on Pennsylvania Avenue were chained to light poles. We ought to be able to do better in the nation's capital, one would think. Hello. It was nice that the folks were mentioning the artistic competition we had for our bike racks and our bike connectors. They're really very, very exciting, and it created a lot of buzz in Louisville. And that was a time when we were trying to create buzz and trying to get people focused on biking. So I am excited, very, very excited to be with you today, to join with you here at the luncheon. As mayor of Louisville for almost 20 years, I have a lot of favorite views in my hometown. I love the sweeping curve of the river. For those of you that know where Louisville is, it's right at the curve of the Ohio River. And when you're at the top of our downtown, recently dedicated center for peace and justice and life and values of Muhammad Ali, and you can see the flow of the river go by, or the view that you see as you look out the Michael Graves designed corporate headquarters in downtown Louisville, or the view that you see as you look in Louisville's downtown. We have a little jewel box, 13,000-seat AAA baseball park. I like that view, but I really like the view as I go through the Frederick Law Olmsted design park system in Louisville. About 100 years ago, those who understood the importance of green space and parks and recreation focused the Frederick Law Olmsted firm that had done Central Park in New York and Boston Commons to Louisville to develop our parks, to develop our parkways, and to have those in our community. The view that was developed by the father of American landscape architecture is really a view that I love when I'm at home. But the view that jumped right out at me in 2005 was a view where we had 1,000 people show up on their bicycles right at that baseball park that I was talking about, ready to ride 17 miles out and back through those Olmsted parks that I referenced. And you had people that looked like they really knew what they were doing. And you had those of us that were sort of into recreational riding. And you had parents and you had grandparents and you had kids on training wheels. And you literally had situations where I was going out on my bike with my wife. My 13-year-old was already coming back from having gone out to the point, was on his way back, as was the head of our library, who's quite a cyclist. He was leading the group back, as were some of the business leaders in our community. And I began to realize at that time in 2005 that there was something special going on when we had our first event ever to be able to energize and encourage people to think about bicycling and bicycling as a recreation opportunity, bicycling as a family opportunity, etc. And we have repeated that over and over again, and we're now over 2,000 people that show up Memorial Weekend, show up on Labor Day weekend with families to ride the 17 miles to a different Olmsted park, and it has created and has encouraged a lot of folks to be able to focus on biking. And that all came about in 2005 as a result of what was mentioned earlier, our bike summit. I had been out in Colorado back in 04 in the summer, and as I left the airport and took the road out toward Vail for the summer, I just kept looking to my right and looking to my left, and I saw all these people riding their bikes. And then I got out to Vail and I saw all these people riding their bikes. And I began to think to myself, obviously, the time has come to engage a Midwestern city, a middle Louisville's about halfway up in the middle Midwest, halfway down into the South, to be able to see if this energy was here in our community that would want to take us to the next step. And that's what created the summit. 2 years ago in February, we had a summit. We held it at at that building I referred to you, designed by Michael Graves. And we had over 200 people show up for 2 full days. And since we had merged our city and county government, it gave me the opportunity as mayor to bring all of the appropriate folks together into the same room. It's great to be the king. So you're able to say, okay, county people, city people, we're all one. Let's all come together, whether it's public works, whether it's police, whether it's EMS, whatever it might be. We want them all in the room. And then I want the state, and our state really got engaged in this. But most importantly, we need the citizen advocates. We need the folks who ride in an energetic way, out there pedaling fast, out there on the roads. And we need some of us who also appreciate being off the road in a more safe and secure situation, as my wife and I enjoy. And we had the good fortune of having Earl Jones, who was the leader of your organization for several years, in our hometown, heading up the Louisville Bicycle Club, which used to be called the Wheelmen, but that's not politically correct. We're not the Wheelmen. We are the Louisville Bicycling Club. And we put all those folks together in a room for 2 days, and we began to try to figure out just exactly what we needed to do to jumpstart Louisville, to try to catch up with many of your cities. I did an interview earlier today with USA Today, and I said to the guy, you know, we're not Boulder, Colorado. We're not Portland, Oregon yet. We're not, you know, but what we did starting in 2005 to get to where we are today, I would submit to you, is not only encouraging for cities that haven't been focused in the past, but it gives you an opportunity to see a chance to grow and expand, to accelerate the progress, and to do it in a very focused way, in an approach that local government, along with local citizens, can pull together and begin to make a difference. I want to talk a little bit about how you inspire a community to get involved. I want to talk a little bit about the difficulty of busy working cities and teaching your citizens how to appreciate bicyclists if you're in a car, and also teaching your bicyclists how to appreciate cars if you're on a bike. An issue of great difficulty and one that we have not solved yet, have we, Earl? But we're working on it each and every day. I want to talk about the competition for transportation dollars, because as this becomes more and more exciting and an opportunity where you hear more and more about it in your hometowns, the question is, where do you go for the dollars? How do you literally create this concept, this desire to have expanded bicycling opportunities in your hometown? Where does it fit on the agenda? Where do you find the funds? For those of you who were in the surface transportation workshop right before this meeting, I don't know how you found that workshop, but I found it pretty depressing because they went through how the infrastructure in this country is falling apart. There's no money for bridges. There's no money to upgrade the infrastructure on our highways. Better yet, start thinking about the reasons why we've got to have bike paths along those roads that are being surfaced and opportunities for transportation access throughout the community. So here's where I started. As a kid in my hometown, my dad and my mom owned a small little grocery. And my job on that bike was to put the milk and the bread in the front basket and, you know, ride it up the street and drop it off at the home and pick up the tab. And so all of us have a story that sort of goes back to when we were children and the opportunity to understand what bicycling meant to us as a youngster. But the reality is that as an adult, as you begin to look toward access to ride to work, access for recreation and fitness, access to create an image of a community that is energized and can attract young people to be a part of your hometown for those kind of challenging jobs and opportunities that we all want, you begin to understand that now's the time. Now's the time because a lot of young people are finally beginning to get it, and we see them in our parks and we see them on our roads riding their bikes for recreation, for fitness, and some even in Louisville are now riding into work. But it's also the boomers. It's the boomers who are now energizing this country to get behind what you all have been doing for so many, many years, to understand and raise the level of awareness that now's the time to engage dollars and energy and time and priorities to ensure that we can create the kind of bicycling communities we want in this country. And you know, when we, the boomers, we liked hula hoops were hot. When we liked yo-yos, yo-yos were hot. When we started jogging, 10Ks became the end thing. Well, the hips and the knees are gone. And so now's the time to step up. I knew I'd get a round of applause on that one. But you know, for me, when I get on my bike and I ride through my hometown, it gives me a way, and maybe it's because I'm just, you know, 18 and a half years as a mayor and it's just me, but I like to see and look and touch and feel the community in which I live. I like to make sure that not only do I smell some of the roses as I ride by or some of the forsythia, but I also smell the barbecue. I see the vegetables and the flower gardens that are blooming. I hear the music. I make eye contact with the citizens in my community. And you put all that together with those folks on the front porches, and you begin to say, there's an energy. There's an opportunity. We are a community, and it creates, I think, a chance for us to even be better in the future than in the past. And that may sound corny. But, you know, someone who loves their city, there's got to be a magic way to get the community engaged in bicycling. And if that corniness is what it has been, is what it takes, then that's what you do. You bring people together, in my judgment, through this initiative, these expanded initiatives of biking. And I know there's a lot of people in this room who are far beyond where I am on biking, and you're riding into work, and you're riding into the grocery, and you're riding here, and you're riding there. That's not yet where America is. We're moving in that direction. We're moving in that direction in our community. But for me, as one who focuses on how do you bring a community together, how do you get people engaged in understanding the importance of bicycling, you start with that recreation, you start with that fitness, you start with that good safety aspects that are required, and then out of that becomes a confidence level where a guy like me might get off that off-road path, get onto a road because it's been handled properly, it's been lined properly, we've educated our citizens on how to keep me safe as I'm driving down that road and how I need to keep myself safe. So when you put all that together, it creates a chance to create community. So how do you become more bike friendly? As I said 2 years ago, we set up that summit, something that can be done by anyone. creates a chance for us to develop our goals and our strategies. And then once we've done that after 2 days, then begin to hold ourselves accountable. And that's a really important aspect of a summit. It's great to have 200 people plus sitting around a room contemplating the essence of things. But the reality is, so what? Well, you keep up, you develop the goals, and you create the strategies, and you begin to set where you want to be. We knew by the year 2008 we wanted to be a bronze community. We made it this year, didn't we? 2 years. There you go. Oh, five. Yeah, that's right. So we made it early. So now we're moving on to what's next? Silver. And then we're going to gold. And then we're going to Wisconsin. And then we're going to... No. So when you have all those folks together, you begin to create the kind of opportunity that develops a chance for where do we go from here. And that's exactly what happened. We set up a game plan. That game plan focused on to ensure that we could, number one, encourage people to get into biking. So that's a goal, encourage more people. How do you do it? We set up our points. We focused on making sure that we could educate people in terms of safety, how to handle their bikes, how to handle themselves, et cetera, on the roads. We focused on a way we called engineering. That is, what are we going to build? How do we resurface? Where do we put our bike ways? And then as far as off-road, how do we develop our off-road opportunities? And then we moved into enforcement, because you got to enforce the laws that exist to let folks know, especially those on the road, that we mean business and we're going to, in fact, follow the law and ensure that people are as safe as possible. And then finally, we focused on following through, ensuring, assessing, evaluating as to how we were moving. So when we left that two-day, 200-plus person summit, we set up a group of 25 or so individuals who would stick together with our bike coordinator in city government and make sure on a quarterly, monthly, quarterly, and then annually bring all the people back together and say, here's what we said we do, and here's what we did. And here's why we were unable to do that, but we're going to get better this next 6 months. And here's why we were able to do even more than we had expected. And that assessment part, that hold the group accountable part, the group being government, is really important, as well as the assessment part, holding people accountable in terms of some of our nonprofits in the bicycling area that took on the responsibility to educate last year 400, 500 people in terms of getting a certificate on bike safety and things of that nature. You've got to follow through. You've got to make sure that you're doing it right. You also have to then begin to look at the transportation aspect with our bus system. Our bus system got it about a year before we understood it, and they began putting bike racks on the front of the buses. Well, in the last year, we've had double-digit percentage increases. So there are, with our encouragements, there are more people feeling comfortable in terms of riding. You have double-digit percentage increases every year since we started that program. And last year, the racks on the bus, we had 100,000 times a bicycle was placed on the front of the bus and for a bus ride. That, along with making sure that we have the kind of transportation grants that as we asphalt every road, connector road, in our community, we're putting in bike paths. So that creates an opportunity for people who want, in fact, to come to work and go back home to have that kind of safety. To try to continue the encouragement, we continue to have events, hike and bikes, and things of that nature that get families out on their bikes. To ensure that we have engineering, as I was telling the reporter a moment ago, before the speech, I said, you know, we're not Boulder, we're not Madison, we're not Portland. When we started this thing 2.5 years ago, we had about 2 miles of bike paths on our city streets, and now we're up to 30, and soon we'll be. Yeah, it is a big step. And now, recently, I introduced a new city policy to require complete streets. Yeah. I guess my home builders didn't call you yet. They called me, but they'll get over it. We're not going to worry about complete streets in cul-de-sacs. I promise them. we'll handle that okay. I said connectors. And then finally, when you're looking at trying to raise the level of energy and excitement and enthusiasm, we're trying to find some really special opportunities for biking. We've got an old railroad bridge across the Ohio River between Louisville and the state of Indiana. And we're literally in a point where we are now building an access to get up on the bridge for bicyclers and walkers and joggers, and take you over the bridge, come down in Indiana the same way, being able to stay on your bike as you ride down. Take the Greenway along the Indiana River, along the Ohio River, along Indiana, and then come back over the river on another railroad bridge. It's about a 9.5-mile ride. We're trying to create the kind of unique and kind of specialness that will not only folks who live in Louisville will enjoy it, but folks that will come from other places. And then the real icing on the cake has come our way, and that is we're building a 100-mile loop around our community, because 100 years ago, when the leaders of our community reached out to Frederick Law Olmsted to develop parks and parkways, they created around those parkways and around those parks sustainable neighborhoods where people wanted to live and sell their house, and then the next generation would come in and sell their house, and the next generation would come in, because they wanted to be around biking. They wanted to be, at that time, around green space, around parks. And we're doing the same thing in our community now in the suburbs. Now that the city and county are one, I can reach out into the suburban area where, in fact, it's developing like Topsy, and we can begin to set aside the kind of green space and develop a 100-mile ride all the way around the community that will be available for my kids and my grandkids in the future. Over the next 10, 15 years, we'll get that done. But what really jump-started it was we had a CEO, a founder of Humana Corporation in Louisville, who stepped up and decided it's a legacy to be able to step up and create the first 27 miles of biking along a wonderful creek area that has capabilities for canoeing, and create 300 to 400 500-acre parks along that first 27 miles. And he went out and raised $20 million and now is raising money to maintain it. And our senior senator reached out into your pockets and got us $38 million. And when you take $20 million of the private sector jumping in, and you take $38 million of the federal government, and you begin to see all of a sudden we're in the acquisition stage of 4,000 acres of new parks, 27-mile ride along this magnificent creek that will connect up to other areas that we have developed, and ultimately develop a 100-mile loop all the way around our city. Those kinds of things, whether it's over the bridge or around the community, energize people and let them understand that while we're educating them, while we're encouraging them, while we're having events for them, while we're making sure they're safe, that there's also going to be a sex appeal, an energy, something that's special going on to give them an opportunity to enjoy and to appreciate. That's what happens when you can sell to a business leader in the community a legacy project, because this individual's the number one corporate citizen in our hometown. He's been involved in everything that's good, just, fair, and wonderful in Louisville. But this one, where he's going to create that first 27 miles, develop 300 to 400 new 400, 500, 600-acre parks, has created the energy that shows legacy and that shows opportunities for his great-grandchildren to appreciate what he's done. Those are the kinds of things we've been working on. Those are the kinds of ideas. We're working on a bike station downtown. We're working on a bike station at the University of Louisville. All that's happening across the country. But I guess my message to you is, if you can develop that partnership, if you can create that passion, if you can literally start it in a way where people feel comfortable as they learn and they get engaged in bicycling recreationally with their families, and then ultimately provide the kind of safe access to and from business locations, we've got a winner. And I'm not even talking about air quality. I'm not talking about decreasing our dependence on energy and all of those 20,000-foot look-down kind of concepts, you know. I'm just talking about the nitty-gritty at the sidewalk level where we all live that creates an opportunity for us all to have the kind of hometowns we want for ourselves, for our families, and most importantly, for our kids. I really appreciate the folks inviting me. Bob I was talking to Bob Chauncey earlier. I hope he's here. I didn't see him. There you are, Bob. You know, you got to come visit us because you helped us on the bike summit, and now we're going to have a pedestrian summit this fall where we're going to bring folks together to work through the same concept. And as Andy said when he stepped down, he was in Louisville, and by the way, it's pronounced Louisville. He was in Louisville a while back, and it's time for him to come back because not only are we a city of 700,000 people, not only are we the 16th largest city in America, but we're now a city who understands the opportunities bicycling provides us, and we understand it today, and you give us another 3 or 4 years, and you're going to see one of the fastest, most engaged community in bicycling in America. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. I think you can see why that bronze wasn't so hard to give or to achieve for the city. And we really do, we're inspired by everything the city is doing. And I told you all this morning that it may not be Portland, but Louisville's going to get there pretty damn fast. So congratulations and thank you again, Mayor. And I remembered when gas prices were rising about a year ago, there was a CNN story, and they were talking about the alternatives and what cities were doing to counter the horrible rise in gas prices. And the mayor was on CNN doing an interview. And to my delight, he not only mentioned the stuff they were doing about bicycling in Louisville, but he actually pulled up a Louisville Bicycle Club jersey and said, you know, these are the folks who are helping me do what we need to for bicycling in Louisville. So I think it's truly an inspirational message, and thanks to the Louisville crew for bringing the mayor here to share that with us.
Well, I'd have to agree with Andy Clark. It was a pleasure listening to Mayor Abramson from the city of Louisville. Thank you to Mayor Abramson and his staff for allowing us to broadcast his speech as part of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Thanks also to the League of American Bicyclists, Bikes Belong, and everyone at the League and at Bikes Belong for allowing us to take part in this year's National Bike Summit. As always, if you have any questions or comments, please send me an email. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com, or feel free to send a voicemail. Our voicemail line is area code 206-203-FRED. And thanks, as always, to Cambria Bicycle Outfitter for sponsoring the Fredcast. Go to www.thefredcast.com. Click the CBO link on the left-hand side of the page where you can find out details on how to get free shipping on your next order from Cambria Bicycle Outfitter. Cambria Bicycle Outfitter, they outfit the world.